Have a blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for hearing our prayers. And thank you for blessing us with the forgiveness of sin and cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Thank you for the word that shows up all the things that you have done for your people all throughout the last 6,000 years. And thank you for blessing us with a desire to please you and to worship you throughout all eternity. We pray that you bless all those that are on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that we mentioned last night. And thank you for helping us and our loved ones that are grieving, or praying for their loved ones that are lost or sick or even in financial trouble. And we thank you for blessing the work we're doing and all the workers that help us do it, as well as those that help the workers. Thank you for that hedge of angels and blessing us with life in these last days. And to the best of our ability, we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And amen. Well, Sabbath blessings, everyone. We actually got normal weather. In the 70s yesterday, in the 70s today. It's just a shocker, I tell you. Anyway, after 2.5 months of, well, we started off with triple digits for about 8 or 9 days, and then it's, I think about 8 days. And then it was the upper 90s, and that was it. Crunchy lawns. Everybody's got dark or light brown crunchy lawns. So, anyway. We are in study lesson number 8. If you're on the radio or on the phone and you want to follow along, go to remnantofgod.org and scroll down to the bottom of the main page. You'll see a blue gift box. Click it and go to number 8. And we're on question number 17 of lesson 8. And it says, what cannot I do except God to hear me? What cannot I do and expect God to hear me? That just seems really odd, the way he says that here, the guy that with this study. But so what can't you do and expect God to hear you? Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. In other words, if you still plan to sin, then don't expect the Lord to hear your prayers. I mean, truth is, if you have unconfessed sins still in your heart, the Lord won't hear your prayers here either. Unconfessed sins has to do with, it actually has to be one of the strangest things for a believer to do, as far as I can see. You know, and I've run across people like this on the street many times, and even in emails, where they say they're too embarrassed to confess a certain sin to God. But they fail to realize when they committed it, they did the sin right before his eyes. Why weren't they embarrassed then? It's a lot easier to confess it than it is to actually do the act. You know, one would think, you know, the sin itself would be far more embarrassing than the confession of it. But this is how the enemy of soul works on some minds. If you don't stay in the Word daily, as you should, little darts like this from hell can become major footholds that can keep you out of heaven. Anyway, the study goes on to define certain truths found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, then Mark 11, verses 25 and 26. And it says, in order to pray acceptably, we need to make things right with anyone we have harmed. And it's, of course, touching on Matthew 5. And then it says to put away any grudges that we may be holding against others. And it's Mark 11. And the verses listed, I got to share them. I mean, I just can't just post them like that. I always got to have the verses out there. But chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and this is, of course, we share this every time we have the Lord's Supper. But therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. I mean, we just had the Lord's Supper, I don't know, a month or so ago. And this is one of the reasons we like to announce it 1 to 2 weeks in advance, so people can make things right. If you've sinned against a brother or a sister, then that brother or sister has aught against thee, as the word says. So, now if they have sinned against you, you don't have aught against them. It's not retroactive. I mean, it's if you have sinned against them, then your brother has reason to have something against you. And here we see it's commanded that you seek forgiveness. You must seek forgiveness before coming to the table of the Lord. Now, even if they don't forgive you, you've done your job. You've done the best you can. You've confessed the sin of the Lord, and you've confessed the sin to your brother or your sister that you've done against them. Now, this is just between a brother and a sister. This isn't doesn't have to be announced to a church family and stuff like that. This is private. And but if they refuse to forgive you, that's now it becomes their problem. Now they have a problem with God, and you're clear. Everything's okay. And then Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 says, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses, your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And here we see that if we truly want our prayers answered, if someone has sinned against us, we got to forgive them completely before seeking the Lord in prayer. This is why when someone does something against me, I immediately tell them I forgive them. But then I also let them know, look, you've got to seek forgiveness on this. And it'd be nice if you apologize too, you know, to let the person know that you have sinned against, which is usually yourself, they got to make it right. It's just the right thing to do. And yes, they may never confess to you and make things right between you and them, or even the Lord for that matter, but that's not your problem again. We each have an individual relationship with Jesus. We need to make sure we do all we can as we walk with him on an individual basis. What others do all around us should never affect our walk with Christ, other than to say we are moved to pray for them more often or whatever. If others that have sinned against us finally do repent and seek forgiveness from us in the Lord, then we can naturally praise the Lord because another soul has gained the Lord's favor. But I always like to forgive way in advance. If they come and ask for forgiveness, you know, from me, then I say, well, praise the Lord, I see a fruit here. I see an actual repentant fruit. And it shows me that my brother and sister are trying. But to get it off my conscience, if you will, and to get it off my table, I don't want to have anything against anybody. I forgive them right off because I don't want my prayers hindered in any way, shape, or form. Okay. And then I also try to do the Matthew 18 thing, of course, but sometimes people don't like that. So you keep praying, and eventually they'll come around, hopefully. All right, question number 18. All right, James, well, here the question is anyway. It says, for whom should we pray? Just for ourselves? And then James 5:16 says, thank you again, brother. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And now a lot of people look at that verse and they think of them, you know, they think when they pray, they think, okay, wait a second, my righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. But if you embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then the Father looks at you as his own son. And so you are considered righteous in the eyes of God, but only because of Christ that's in you. Your righteousness is truly nothing but filthy rags. But anyway, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ went from city to city healing every soul he met. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This means he is the very same kind-hearted healer today that he was during his earthly ministry. And our Lord's love is a true healing balm for every disease known to man. That being the case, why is it most are unwilling to trust him who created us from, you know, like, or even just created the DNA strands in the hair on our heads. I mean, not let alone everything else in our bodies, and the trees and the butterflies and the frogs and everything. I mean, the Creator can, by a single touch, a single word, or even a simple look, heal all manner of disease. We have a loving and compassionate God, brothers and sisters. And yes, I understand completely that when we are sick, that the pain we experience can sometimes cloud our minds and weaken our faith. But as here, we must learn to trust Him even more. And for those that are sick and dealing with this, yours is an amazing testimony. You know, it's like even when I was sick and things, you know, and I never got any major issues. I mean, there was a couple that could have been very life-threatening, but during those times, sometimes it would take a little while for the Lord to answer the prayer. I remember one time with the problem with my gut, and it went on for about 6 months. And it was difficult to deal with because it was pain every single solitary day. But he eventually answered the prayer. But I can remember clearly that, my mind was clouded at times because of the pain. And it had a tendency to, I was tempted to weaken my faith. I was tempted to give up, but I never did. I mean, it's just, I praise God for stuff like that because it makes you stronger. I mean, after all, who is more worthy of our confidence than the very one who not only walked among us, healing all sorts of disease 2,000 years ago, but literally died for us so we can also be healed from the stain of sin that would prevent our entry into His eternal kingdom. As we see in this passage, our Lord has given us easy to understand instructions as to our Christian duty in every case of sickness. All right? In the two previous verses, it says, if any is sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And that's, of course, verses 14 and 15 of James chapter 5, which led right into this one saying, confess your faults one to another, pray one, you know, the one we started this with. So now, we must understand that this type of prayer is a most solemn act and should never be entered into without careful consideration. For those in need of a healing, they should always have it illustrated to them plainly that the violation of God's law, in either the natural act or in the heart or spiritual act, is indeed sin. And that in order for them to receive His blessing upon them, all sin, all of it, must be confessed and forsaken completely. And forsaken is, you know, you just don't do it again. You just, of course, make that decision like Daniel did. And I can't say that Daniel had an issue. Well, I'm sure he had issues with sin. He's a human just like the rest of us. But he made a decision and decided from that day forward he's going to do the best of best that he can to walk in the path of the Lord. And that's why Gabriel was sent. Because he showed that he had the fruits that were necessary to do the work that the Lord needed someone to do at that time. And Daniel happened to be the guy. I mean, if any sin is not forsaken, the blessing can't be granted. Yes, we know that our God hears us when we pray, but only if we ask according to His perfect will. Just as, just like there's a condition to be met for every promise in the Word, so is there a condition to be met in every prayer for the sick. To seek a healing from self or someone that has no desire to stop their sinful ways, it's just not going to work. And we must always understand we do not have the right or the power to demand God heals us or heals anybody for that matter. You know, we must understand that we only seek His intervention in the person's life, and whatever His will is for that soul is completely acceptable to us. All our concerns, all our desires, and all our interests for those we pray for should all be left in God's hands perfectly. Jesus said when He was praying, in Luke 22:42, He says, not my will, but thine be done. And so as we know, faith is always strengthened by exercise. So that being said, we must let patience have its perfect work in our hearts. And remember, all promises in the Scriptures are perfect and trustworthy from our Lord. And yes, sometimes the prayer is answered in New Jerusalem. You know, some sicknesses will lead to the person going to sleep and being healed completely in New Jerusalem, you know, in heaven. And that too. But that's, again, Father's will, we don't know which way it's going to go irregardless. You know, we just do the best we can. And sometimes, especially when it's like the guy at Bethesda, 38 years, or the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. I mean, it's just sometimes it takes a while because, like I've said so many times before, the prayer request and the time between the period of that request and the answer to the prayer is also part of the answer. The Lord takes his time sometimes. I mean, a perfect example of that is John the Baptist's parents. They wanted a baby. And they wanted a baby for decades. And it wasn't until they were old that the Lord finally gave them that child. Because the Lord wanted to give them a child that was a prophet and that would herald the arrival of Messiah. But if they had received that child when they were in their 20s or 30s or 40s, in other words, when they if they would have had that baby, if that prayer would have been answered the day they prayed it, they would not have been able to do, in other words, they weren't ready for the prayer to be answered yet, period. That was just it. They were going to have John the Baptist as a child, but they weren't ready to raise John the Baptist yet. Had they had him when they were in their 20s or 30s or whatever, they would have ruined his faith. They would have messed things up. They would have an overwhelming blessing later on in life to have, you know, give birth to a prophet. And the same goes with today. Sometimes the prayers take a little while to get answered because we're not ready for the answer yet. So anyway, number 19 is how effective is prayer? And James 5:16 says, okay, it says, confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another, pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, we just did that one, and did they repeat that one? Yeah, it was repeated. I just noticed that. Anyway, notice here that some people, well, actually most are going to miss. In this passage, it gives both the problem and the remedy if one in one fell swoop. All too often people seek after those things in life that will bless them with God's smile upon them, but they fail to abide by the conditions set forth in his word. Just as every promise has a condition of obedience upon it, so does the prayer of a righteous man. In other words, the bottom line is unless you confess your faults against each other or pray for each other, not only will the healing never come, but your prayer won't be effectual because disobedience does not a righteous man make. For example, Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 and 4 says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Daniel, like some today that are preparing to be in that number, had a burden for Israel. He studied the prophecies of Jeremiah. And he understood by the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And that's Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. With absolute trust and faith founded on the sure word of prophecy as it is written in Jeremiah, Daniel pleaded with the Lord for fulfillment of these promises. He also pleaded for the honor of God to be once again embraced by his people. In his prayer, he included himself with his fellow countrymen that were in sin. After all, we're all sinners. There are none, you know, there's none righteous, no, not one. But we must learn to trust, obey, and humble our souls as did Daniel in this prayer. As we know, our Lord responded to his prayer by sending, you know, Gabriel to Daniel. And Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. This means that even in the last days, when sin abounds and obedient souls are vexed daily in this sin-sick world, prayers offered in like manner, like Daniel did, will most assuredly prevail with our God because I am the Lord, I change not, he said. As James stated, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As it was long ago when prayer was offered and fire descended from our Lord in heaven, so in answer to our heartfelt prayers, the Lord will send the heavenly fire into our souls. As promised so long ago, the latter rain will fall and the light and the power of the Holy Spirit will be ours in abundance, brothers and sisters. I mean, after all, don't we have the same pressing need for God's people burdening our hearts as did Daniel in his day? If you understand and believe that we truly are in the very last days, but I implore you to take upon your souls a burden for God's remnant people. Pray that the work goes forth blessed. Pray that the workers are blessed. And pray that the small home churches that are gathering with us all over the world are blessed. And pray for the children that are being taught by their parents in the truth, as well as those parents that gather for study with God's people. That very same God who heard Daniel's prayer will most assuredly hear our prayers when we come to him in deep contrition. Our necessities are just as urgent. Our difficulties are just as great. And we need to have the same exact intensity of purpose as did Daniel in his day, thousands of years ago. All of that which we pray for must be placed entirely upon the great burden bearer. And this is one of the reasons I love my God as much as I do, because truth is truth, and he does not change. His powerful answers to prayer thousands of years ago are still happening today. Some of us have been witness to this. And so he's still there for his people. He hasn't changed. And this is one of the beauties of it all. He hasn't changed. It's still going to be, and this is why the devil's flexing his muscles the way he is. This is why you got so many different Bibles out there. This is why you got all these crazy churches out there doing all this nutty stuff. Because the devil knows once God's people get a grasp on the fact that he is who he says he is, and he has never changed, and those his glorious hand will be seen as prophecy states, well, then the devil's in a heap of trouble. So he's trying the best he can to prevent that Gideon band from getting that latter rain. Brothers and sisters, we need to have our hearts moved as deeply in our day as Daniel was in his day, when he offered the fervent and effectual prayer. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Okay, number 20. Question is, why does God sometimes deny our requests? James chapter 4, verse 3. It says, you ask, and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You know, this is something so many people fail to realize as well. James also said in verse 15, we shared a moment ago, that the prayer, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. But Jesus also said in Luke 18:8, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So many people are unable to get their prayers answered today because they simply don't believe the Word of God. And that prophecy of the defiled bread is one of the main reasons for it, because they're holding bogus Bibles in their hands and they don't really know what God has to say. Or they don't read the Bible at all. They go to a Sunday-keeping church or even a SDA church, and these pastors, they just don't tell them what they need to hear. They don't give them that desire or that urge to go into the Scriptures and seek more as the Bereans did. And yes, sometimes the Lord takes his time in answering the prayers, but those that have faith and trust the Lord's promises know that the waiting period is part of the answer, as I stated earlier. So after all, the Lord heard the prayer, and we know this if we're walking the way we should. And if the answer isn't immediate, it's because the one praying needs to wait. It's just that simple. Still, many fail here because of impatience. But doesn't 1 Timothy 6:11 say we should follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness? And Galatians chapter 5, verses 20. I mean, that's one of the ways the Lord teaches patience, too. He takes his time answering the prayers. So everybody knows about my 1,011-day situation. We literally counted those days. He taught us patience in a big way. And in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. I mean, our Father's pretty long-suffering with us, isn't he? But going on is the gentleness, of course, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such, there is no law. In other words, if you do these things, you're not in sin. Because there would be no laws against you. There would be no commands you're breaking. You know, my experience over the years has shown me that patience is one area where the body of Christ is lacking. But James chapter 1, verse 4 says we need to let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And this is one of the reasons the Lord takes his time answering the prayers, because, again, that time period is part of the answer. It's part of the healing. Patience is, of course, the main reason for the time period, too. And, yes, there are times that the Lord doesn't answer the prayer right away. Trust him anyway. Just because he doesn't answer, because some of us have seen immediate answers to prayer, but just because he doesn't answer immediately sometimes, it doesn't mean he no longer exists. I mean, that's just silliness. I mean, look around. The birds still eat. The rain still falls. The souls still find Christ, and signs of his hand are still apparent upon every aspect of his creation, from the seed that germinates in the soil to the truth that blossoms into the heart of every true believer. I mean, basic reality is, being one that loves to watch things grow in a garden, it makes you realize there is a God, and this is why the Bible Belt, I mean, it's no mistake. Like in America, for example, they call it the Bible Belt, where most of the crops are grown, because these guys, I mean, you know, all they do is step a little seed in the ground, and here I'm making money on all this stuff that comes up, and I didn't do nothing but make sure the soil was ready for it. You know, in all my years, never once have I seen a seed planted that sprouted and bore fruit the exact same day that was put in the ground. And I've been messing with gardens since I was a kid. You know, to show a lack of trust in his word by exhibiting impatience when in prayer is in fact asking amiss. Okay, there's other aspects of that of too, you know, consuming it upon lust, you know, like some people want an answer, like say, give me $1 million so I can go out and party hardy in Vegas. That's of course that's a very graphically overdone example, of course. But there's other things, you know, some people want a nice house and or a guy, say example, wants a nice car and a nice house. And there's nothing really wrong with that, but the meaning, the reason by which he wants it is because he wants to attract the ladies, you know? And so that, he's asking amiss. The Lord knows it. He knows his heart. He knows. So the impatience thing, though, is a big part of it all. And, you know, when it comes to asking amiss, I mean, right off the bat, the impatient seeker is showing a lack of faith. Still, there is another side of that coin. Many ask amiss by praying while still in sin. If you are one that seeks the Lord's hand upon you in any way, I suggest removing all known sin from your life right away. I mean, you don't drag your feet on something like this. Some will say, you know, I've done that already. But have you really done it? Self-deception is a powerful tool of the devil to keep you asking amiss. For example, most Christians I know realize watching TV or going to the movies is sinful, and that entertainment that requires the employ of an actor is something we are instructed in God's word not to do. Philippians 4 verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So let me ask you this. When you're watching your favorite sitcom or sitting in a theater watching a movie, are the actors being true and honest? No, of course not. They're actors. And what is the basic definition of an actor? A professional liar, right? When an actor stands on a stage, he plays a part. Is he truly or honestly that character he plays? No. He's simply lying. And who is the father of lies? Well, Satan, right? We're Christians. We know this. So since we know this basic reality and seeing how most Christians still watch movies or sitcoms, is it any wonder their prayers are hindered when they follow and allow Satan to entertain them each and every day, sometimes every hour of the day? I mean, 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Jesus said plainly in Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. So, are you in prayer? Do you allow actors to entertain you? And do you have a high enough IQ to realize acting is nothing more than a simple lie? If so, in other words, you realize that they're liars. So if so, then don't expect the Lord to answer your prayers anytime soon, because you're truly asking amiss. Hope and pray you're blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.